What's up, everybody? What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Doing good. Doing good. How are you doing?
Fantastic. We've got our second part of our Batman animated series.
Who are you?
Collection that we're doing.
Who are you?
We're going to get there. But before I start, because Jimmy got all excited, he wants to get in there. I'm George.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Jimmy.
And we're the Magic City Podcast. So this is our second episode into the Batman the Animated Series. We're going to be talking about On Leather Wings, which originally was supposed to be the first episode of the series before they moved the Catwoman episode into it. All right, I know Jimmy loves title cards. That has an excellent title card.
It does. It's a giant bat silhouette, the black and the white color. I think it's phenomenal, and I think the art is underappreciated in the show, especially with the title cards.
Oh, for sure. It reminds you, if I don't know if you've ever seen old movies from like the 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
They had those same kind of title cards.
Who owns these title cards?
I've been doing that research to see.
Oh, like the actual
they are production cells.
I'm sure, yeah.
But you don't see them often.
I'm sure. I'm sure the crew members and cast and people that were directly related to the show got those.
Somebody has it.
Yeah.
So
this episode, as it when you watch it, like after we get through the opening credits, this episode gives you the vibe of an episode one. You know, you get the hero shot. Well, before we get the hero shots of Batman, it opens up with a silhouette that's flying through the night sky. You kind of get a glimpse of what the Man-Bat is. You know, you don't know if it's a person, a creature. You just see the silhouette. And then it gets to this building, and then you get this, like, this horror vibe. You get him stalking a security guard. You have the shadow that it's playing with the shadows. And it gets the security and tosses him out a window. So the episode starts off with this creature that throws somebody off a building. So you as a kid, you're like, the hell's going on here? But I was watching Batman.
Yeah, it's a different vibe than the Catwoman vibe. Ones.
It gives you more like this, starts off with this horror aspect. And then you start getting these establishing shots, which is what makes it an episode one. You have that shot of like the Batmobile when it leaves the Batcave.
Right.
You know? The animation style looks like this bad boy's done in Japan. Beautiful. You see like these electricity lines that come out of the car, the way it moves. It's the way they used to do cartoons where you had like this really cool detailed vehicle or character in the front and everything moving in the background.
I didn't get the Japanese aspect of it. Maybe because I wasn't watching Japanese cartoons.
You weren't watching anime back then?
I was not. I was not watching in 1992. I didn't even know the Japanese cartoons were a thing.
Yeah, I wasn't watching it back then, and I'm still not watching them now.
Yeah.
Going strong.
Until we do our Studio Ghibli deep dive.
Yeah.
Well, we had, back then, Sci-Fi did a lot of the Sci-Fi channel would run cartoons in the mornings and afternoons, and they had a bunch of old stuff. They'd have Robotech. Besides Transformers, they'd have Saturday nights. They had different animes, just random ones that would run up.
What I like about this episode is that it starts off quick. You know, you get this silhouette, what would you just explain, but it's fast moving. It's a fast paced episode.
Yeah,
it's not like nobody's lingering around, nobody's doing anything. It's just a fast paced episode. And as a kid, seeing that, you're like, "Who's this Man Bat guy?" Because as a kid, I mean, I didn't know who Man Bat was. I didn't know it was the opposite of Batman was, you know, Man Bat.
Literal wordplay right there.
Right. So when you saw this video, you're like, "What the hell is this?" Like, it's not like your average Batman rogues gallery. This is a new villain.
Even though he's been around in the comic books since the 70s.
Even though, exactly. But yeah, it was a cool aspect of seeing that opposite Batman.
Which was intentional. They wanted to start off the show with a character people weren't familiar with.
Right.
You know, you also get the relationship that Batman has with the police, which is at that point, there isn't any. They mostly distrust him. Except for Gordon, they want him off the streets.
Right.
You know, yeah, Gordon, I think that plays directly from the comic books that Gordon's always his confidant, true and true.
Right, that he's the one that earns that trust quickly. First, when it comes to the police, you get a quick look at Harvey Dent from the shadows.
Before Two-Face, right?
You get a coin flip in the air,
yeah.
Which is very different. And then you're like, people that don't know, maybe they don't realize that's Two-Face.
As kids, you don't know that.
What's cool about the whole relationship between him, Batman, and Gordon is that Gordon already knows of him, and they have communicated before, they've worked together before, and if you see this as a true first episode, there's history between Gordon and Batman already.
Right. You get that history there, and you see how it's in the beginnings because the rest of the police force doesn't trust him yet.
Correct. And then as the episode moves along, you see how Gordon is defending Batman mm-hmm. because whatever's going on, whatever Bullock wants to do in the committee or the mayor is out of character for Batman.
Right.
And he's Gordon knows it.
Gordon's running points and blocking every which way.
Right.
Because
right.
The show starts off with all these break-ins and the last one being so violent of people are seeing like a bat. They're assuming it's Batman that's breaking into all these chemical places and robbing it.
Because everybody knows of Batman.
They know of the Batman. So they assume it's Batman doing all that stuff. Like, oh, I told you he was a villain. You know, so Bullock goes crazy. Another great character that's throughout the entire series is Bullock.
Yeah.
He always plays against like.
Yeah. Needs to bring Gordon. Down the bat.
Yeah.
He's an underrated character in the Batman underrated. Universe.
Yeah.
Altogether, whether it's movies, comics, animated shows, he's a great character.
I liked him in the Batman.
Yeah.
Because he was in the Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was more one of those things like, what are you doing? Like, he knows Batman's a necessary evil.
Right.
That he works outside the lines, but he's still required to what needs to be done.
And how Batman, or how the relationship between Bullock and Gordon has always been amazing. Because Bullock knows that Gordon knows that he's dealing with Batman. And Bullock wants to take down Batman, but he knows he can't go against the commissioner.
Yeah.
So there's a dynamic there that's interesting during their relationships.
And he knows Gordon enough to he'll push that relationship, but he'll never like betray him.
Right.
Like he tries to get things his way, but without
crossing the line, right?
But without stepping over Gordon.
He respects
yeah. Gordon. He gets angry that he can't do things, but he respects him enough to stop at a certain point.
Right.
So one of the interesting things about this episode is that you see like how Batman works within this world. You have those beautiful establishing shots of a first episode, the Batmobile, Batman when he shoots off the grappling hook,
yeah.
That gets the hero shot, you know, lightning hits and he's shooting it off. Then you start finding, you get that detective aspect. He's trying to figure out who's out there, who's doing these things. And then he finds that recorder with the bat sounds.
Yeah.
And here's what you find where Bruce Wayne is doing recon for Batman.
Yes.
Yeah, where he goes back to the lab and talks to Kurt Langstrom, his wife. Right. And
and it's a recurring theme that you're going to see of where he uses Bruce Wayne to get access to places and acts like, oh, hey, what's going on? Yeah, I just need a favor. Like he uses his Bruce Wayne persona to go to places Batman can't go.
It's the goofiness of Bruce Wayne throughout the whole show that distinguishes him from the character of the Batman, which is great. And now how he uses his billionaire status to...
He uses the billionaire playboy status where he's just like aloof.
Right.
So he's not looked upon as like a threat by anybody. So they always let him in to wherever he's trying to go.
And the key call out was, you just have regular brown bats.
Right.
And then he's like, okay, I'll remember that next time donation season comes along.
Yeah. Right.
Thanks for your help. Like, it's all like, hey, I'll write you a check. Thanks for helping me out. Which, let's be real, that's how the world works.
And then the best part is when he takes a phone call from the Batcave as Batman, but he uses his Bruce Wayne voice.
Yeah. Which is funny. This is where we get a little bit more deep dive into the Batcave and the Alfred relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're reading the newspaper. You know, they're seeing different things together. Like, Alfred's actually providing hindsight into it.
And support.
And he's like...
And sarcasm.
Yeah.
He's like, Master Wayne, that wasn't you that threw the man outside the window? He's like, no, I only throw butlers out. Yeah. So it's sort of that back and forth that they have. And we got a glimpse of the first appearance of Siri.
Yeah.
He talked to his back computer and the back computer gave him a response.
Right. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty ingenious.
I like how the back computer has like all the big buttons and like nothing's really labeled. It's just like random buttons.
Old school technology, man. Buttons for everything.
It's like buttons for everything. Nothing's labeled. And it just presses two buttons and like it'll analyze whatever he needs it to analyze.
Yeah.
If it's a hair, if it's a whatever sample, he's got the technology to analyze anything.
We also got to see some of the utility-ness of Batman's utility belt.
Mm-hmm.
The black smoke bombs, the infrared goggles that he uses to wear to analyze the crime hair specimen, which also takes pictures, which I appreciated that. And the grappling hook where he has the fight sequence with Man-Bat, how he's going through it and he hooks up Man-Bat with the grappling hook.
Which, to me, the scene of Man-Bat flying with Batman grappled to his leg, amazing.
Oh, yeah.
The way they get the cape roll when they're turning and the ups and downs, just the flying aspect of it was an amazing shot.
And when he cut through the unfinished building.
Right.
I wrote like great animation sequence because you saw the different angles mm-hmm. and just things you don't see normally.
But that cape roll, I don't know if you guys noticed when he turns that the cape rolls with him is, I mean, you see it in the comic books drawn like that way, but they were able to get it on the animation side. I mean, it just looks amazing. They nailed it.
When you see like how meticulous they were when they animated right. the show, it's very smooth.
It's fluid, right? It's very fluid.
It's very fluid. One of the cool things before that scene, though, when Batman confronts Langstrom and he's telling him, like, you know, the bat's already like taking control of me and how he's figured out all the chemicals he needs to be the man bat full time. That transformation sequence.
Yes.
It has like, you know, those old school horror movie vibe with the shadows, and he's like, you see the pain that this character has as he's transforming into the man bat and then wrecks Batman before he takes off.
Yeah.
Looking at it as an adult, you see the underlying tones. This is the first time we see Harvey Dent. Man bat is saying like a split personality. Like he's talking about himself, but he's like, the creature knows what it needs.
Mm-hmm.
So you see the duality of it. You see it with Batman and Bruce Wayne. You see it with Langstrom and Man Bat. You have Harvey Dent throwing the coin in the air. So all those factors, I don't think were done accidentally.
Oh, no.
Of course not.
It was all...
It was foreshadowing, yeah.
It was foreshadowing, and it's more of like we're adults doing an adult show that they'll pick it up. It's just on daytime TV.
Yeah, no, and if you look back now, and, you know, we'll go into the episodes, but there's a lot of body horror when it comes to this with the villains. There's a lot of villains that have, like, painful transformations as they move along and become, you know, the supervillains.
One thing I did notice, which caught my attention, was, and I thought about this to kind of like give a comparison, but his suit in the animated series was like Adam West's suit in the 60s series.
Well, the blue and gray.
It was just like a piece of cloth, because when he's fighting Man-Bat, he gets cut. You can see right through the Bat logo. You can see his skin. So it's not like he has like this padding or like this huge suit. It's just fabric.
Yeah.
It's just like a regular old t-shirt, you know, whatever material, which is real thin.
If I'm not mistaken, I don't think it's till the later seasons that he mentions there's body armor under it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean,
because I was like thinking the Nightwing, the Robin, the Batgirl costumes.
I think later on with like the black and gray ones, I think they mention.
The closest I could think of as a comparison was Adam West's suit. That it was just a piece of like latex. That's what he uses in the
animated series. Like the 80s like comic suit.
Right.
It was like blue and gray, and then you'd see it get messed up.
It was less tactical than was functional, you know?
And Wes even made that comment in an interview or somewhere where he's like, you know, my suit didn't have body armor. It was 100% Adam West.
Right.
Yeah. Because it was just him and he had to stay in shape. And it was sort of like that unfit old guy muscular.
It was build. Dad bod, It was dad bod Batman, right?
Yeah, but he had that, and so did Burt Ward. It was just them. There was no padding. There was no accentuating muscles that didn't exist.
Right.
But yes, it's cool. The Batman from the first two seasons, his there's no armor on his suit. It's just a suit. The belt has the gadgets, and that's it.
That's it, right? And he gets wrecked, man.
He does.
Fight with Man Bat, he gets wrecked.
That fight, when he finally takes Man Bat down and the police flash the light on Batman, Batman's bleeding.
Right.
His face is all scuffed up. He's got a bloody nose. But that's the first time, like in a cartoon, you saw blood on a kid's show.
And then just after that fight, he actually cures Langstrom.
He does.
And he brings him back to his wife.
Dude takes him back to the
Which you kind of think, when I saw the scene looking at it now, I'm like, damn, is he bringing back a dead body? He's got like his head covered and everything. Oh, man, he killed him, dude. So he killed the guy, but then he takes him
out. He murked the guy.
Yeah, like, wow.
No, it just shows, I think, Batman's human aspect as well.
Yeah, well,
he's doing this for the better, where you don't kill your enemies, you just cure them and you fix the problem.
You either try to make them better or you put them away. Yeah,
right.
But that's one of his things where like when he can save the villain of the episode, he'll do it. It feels like an introduction episode.
It does. Yeah,
you have a lot of establishing shots to show you like this is new, this is new, this is new.
Again, I mean, back then I probably wouldn't have noticed if you would have put it first episode or not, but looking at it now, it makes sense why that should have been a first episode. Plus, the character, the design of the Man Bat, it was great, man. Especially when you see it with these figures. I mean, it's just so it's different than what you would expect a Man Bat to look. It's like a hybrid of a man and a bat, which is exactly what it is.
So it's funny, Batman the Animated Series, the latest toy line, Man-Bat is actually one of the more expensive and harder figures to get.
He's big.
Because he's massive, and you have the different emote expressions for his face.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the crazy bat versus the pensive bat, right, versus the different things. So it is a phenomenal figure. Like,
dude, the Man-Bat black and white statue for that series of black and white statues, uh-huh, that was, to me, that's, it was an expensive statue, but it was one of the best ones because it's, again, it's so big. You see the wings, you see the structure of the wings. It looks amazing.
Is that one that you have in the collection? Yeah, I know you have the majority of the black and white line.
Yeah, I have that one. Nice. That was like one of the last ones I picked up.
I've never seen that one.
It's great, man. I'll check it out. It kind of like extends outside of the base, which is what's cool about it, but it takes up space on the shelf.
To wrap it up, the multiple voices that we get Richard Mole, which if everybody remembers Night Court, he's the guard. We also get, do you know who the voice of Kurt is?
Nope.
Mark Singer.
Who's Kurt?
Kurt Langstrom.
Oh.
Man-Bat. Yeah, no, not Captain Kirk.
Oh, okay.
Mark Singer, which was an established actor, but we might know him as the Beastmaster.
Oh my God, I remember that show. Oh, it was an awful show as a kid,
but
yeah.
Awful show, but that was the voice of Kurt Langstrom. And then, yeah, we have Kevin Conroy and everybody else, but I see it like just seeding for future episodes.
Dude, I could honestly say that I haven't rewatched any Batman the Animated Series episodes since we were kids. I've never gone back and watched any of it. So I'm really watching these as like 30 years later.
I'm with you. I've probably seen a handful again.
Yeah, I never.
Just that I remember they might have popped up like on the TV or in the queue or something.
I sporadically remember some of the episodes that, yeah, you remember how the Joker looks. You remember how Poison Ivy looks. Freeze, a lot of those characters. But to me, this is like an actual rewatch 30 years later. And watching the two Catwoman episodes in this one, completely different.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot better. Yeah. A lot better.
So I've probably the one that's seen the most recent, because when it came out, when HBO Max came out and they had Batman there, like I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, but you're a huge rewatcher.
But over the course of time, like I watched it.
Yeah, no, I never seen any of that. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, this is a better episode than the first two that are on the lineup on HBO Max. I remember you said that the DVD's different.
Yeah.
But watching it on HBO Max in this order, it's way better than the first two.
Yeah, because the HBO Max order is the broadcast order.
The way it was aired, right?
Yeah. Except for the part one and part two, because they put them close together.
Yeah.
It's for the most part the broadcast. Yeah, that's it for this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Make sure to like, subscribe, comment. Let us know what you guys thought about the episode in the comment section below. And if you agree this is a better episode than The Cat and the Claw.
Just shot him before I got to it, man. Anyways, but also, appease the algorithm gods. What are you doing? Just stop it there. Jimmy's throwing me off with this.
Until next time, you have to do the call sign.
He's just going to cut it off.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
I already cut you off, so you can say whatever you want.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Well, we'll catch you guys on the next episode when we go over the Heart of Ice.
And nice. I might or might not be here.
Guys, thanks for watching the video. If you like it, appease the algorithm gods. Hit the like bell, hit the like button, leave a comment, subscribe, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.